Third hour of the show.
Christie, Bullet Bob Hayes.
Yep. Number 22.
Grant Napier. Got some wheels on you when you want to, Napes.
Yeah, good point right there. Which is not very often.
Hey, as long as you got them when you need them.
Yeah, 339-1140 is the local number. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Game four is going to start tonight. I think the Yanks are in deep trouble. I think that, you know, if you got to rely on CC Sabathia in an elimination game, it does not bode well. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll eat my words tomorrow.
But hold on. I know it is an elimination game. I get that. But do you consider it one based upon if he already had things lined up of how he was going to pitch guys, or do you change it now that you're down?
I would have started J-Hap. He didn't pitch a lot in game one. He's good to go. To me, I don't worry about game five. I got to win game four, and I'm going to go with Hap. He's my best pitcher, and that's the guy I'm going with tonight.
So let me take you maybe behind the mindset of your manager, Boone. Could he start CC and be ready for Hap? No,
if he starts CC, which he is, he will end up going to Chad Green. He will go to Betances.
Okay.
He will go to Britton. He will go that route.
I like that Betances kid, by the way.
He's very good.
Yeah, he's. How old is he? Is he in his 20s? Looks like he's a big kid, man.
Oh, yes, he is.
Which lends me. I said the same thing. About the what's the kid's name who started last night, Grant?
For who?
For your Yankees, the guy Shield.
Luis Severino.
Yeah, I said that about him too. I mean, but Luis kind of fallen off a little.
Dellin actually just turned 30 in March. Turned 30.
Yeah. And
Luis though, I think Severino's 24, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, there's no Didi, that's for sure.
No, there's no Didi.
Hey, do or die in the Bronx. It's at home. You guys should win this. You said at the very beginning, you see this going five. Here's your opportunity.
No, I'm not saying that it won't, but I would be nervous. I am with CC Sabathia getting the ball in a game like this. Now, again, you know, Sabathia doesn't have to go deep into the game. He has to give the Yankees. If you told me right now CC will go four innings and give up one run or less, I'm like, yeah, okay, give me that right now. Yeah. I'm not expecting him to go shutout. Even if you told me he would go two runs in four innings, I would still take that.
Yeah, because you're within striking distance.
Right.
Now, get into three.
The Yankees aren't going to score a couple runs.
I would think so, Grant. I would think that they figure out a way to get on base. And obviously the long ball comes into play, but they're going to have to manufacture some runs if they can, similar to what they see in Boston.
I don't think that scoring 16 runs in one game means anything in the next night. It's all about pitching. You lost. It goes down as one loss. Now, it was an embarrassing loss. There's no anyone that tells you differently is lying. It was embarrassing. But at the end of the day, it's one loss.
Yeah, it is. I mean, in basketball, I think you would equate it to maybe losing by 30 or 40 points. That's probably how you look at it. Now, it's easier to put that behind you, Grant, when you don't have to stew with it for a day or two. The fact that the game is the next day, I think, plays into the Yankees' favor because they got that taste in their mouth and they want to get it out quickly.
I was looking at some quotes from earlier. Aaron Boone did say that every pitcher is available to come out of the bullpen, including J.A. Happ tonight.
There you go.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but you see, to me, with that line of thinking, I would have started Happ. That's what I would do.
If you think that this is my thinking. When I look at a guy like CeCe, can you turn back the hands of times for me and give me four innings?
Yep.
And starting and letting him get into the mentality of a starter as opposed to coming out of the bullpen, I think plays probably better for CeCe.
Maybe it does. Here's what we do know. If CeCe gets in any trouble early, he's not going to be around. They're taking him out in the first inning. There is no tomorrow. You know, the Red Sox have a game they can play with here. You know, they got Porcello on the mound.
What do you think of him?
You know what? He has the ability to pitch very well. Okay. I mean, it's not like the Red Sox are throwing out a guy there that, you know, doesn't know how to pitch. So, you know, again, the Red Sox won 108 games this year. Somebody had to do something pretty well, right?
Yes.
You don't win 108 games in Major League Baseball, you know, without having a lot of depth in every aspect. Now, their bullpen is not very good. We get that. Yeah. We know that.
Right.
But
you got to get to him.
That's right.
There's going to be some pressure. I think the pressure is on Stanton tonight, Grant. He needs
I would agree with that.
Judge has delivered. He laid down the gavel. Boy, oh boy, he's done it in a big way. Now Stanton needs to make his stamp as a New York Yankee and solidify himself. I would also expect a nice game out of D.D. Gregorius.
I think D.D. will play well.
Yeah, he seems to be the guy that, you know, single, get himself a double, maybe even hit a long ball. It kind of maybe be that guy if you get some people on base in front of him that drives him home.
All right, so Porcello and Sabathia, CC 9-7 this year, 3.69 ERA. And the 38-year-old are going against Rick Porcello, who this year was 17-7 with an ERA of 4.28. So those are your matchups tonight. It's pretty simple. The Yankees lose, their season is over. If they win, they get a Game 5 Thursday in Boston.
Who's catching for CC?
Nobody. The Yankees don't have a guy that can catch.
Come on, man. He can hit. That's for sure. We'll see.
Yeah, it's Gary Sanchez's
catcher. There you go.
Just, yeah.
Be nice, Napes.
All right. So, and then the other aspect. Oh, by the way, the first pitch is a wild pitch by Sabathia that nobody could catch. CC couldn't catch it. You would not have had Drew Pearson in his prime be able to catch that ball. You wouldn't have Jerry Rice catch that ball. You wouldn't have anybody catch that ball. CC missed the plate by about 5 feet.
Usually, when you shake the first one.
The home plate umpire called it a strike. No, I'm just kidding.
You're bad,
Angel
man.
Martinez called it a strike.
You are bad.
I'm just telling you, I'm not comfortable with CC Sabathia in this spot.
Well, obviously the Yankees are, and you know what? I think that CC probably gets a lot of respect in that dugout, and they are probably all cheering in behind him, and that's the type of thing that can bring a team together for a guy to go out and give you his best shot in a one game scenario, and that's what's happening tonight.
You know who threw out the first pitch tonight?
Who would that be?
It would be the Yankee shortstop from 1978, who just hit the ball over the Green Monster to win the game. That would be Bucky Dent. 40 years ago,
wow.
Bucky Dent.
Really?
Yep. How about that for you? 40 years and 1 week ago.
Bet you wasn't in the dirt either.
You see Mookie almost hit a home run there.
Oh, my goodness.
The ball just
gracious.
Missed the foul pole.
Listen. Good granny, that thing went
What's so funny, man?
Because, shift is on. DD?
That's no shift. They're playing him straight away in a nice hop there and a glove Dang. By Mr. Voigt.
That was – see, that's – you got to be more positive, man. You're right, though. That was ugly.
Did you see Mookie almost hit Jack one out of there, didn't he?
Yes, he did. That thing is
Hey, I want to remind everyone that all guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try – one of their delicious flavors of wings today, Fire Wings, just wing it. Switching back to the NBA, one thing I'm really looking forward to early in the season, we're going to get a look at that new arena in Milwaukee. And
yeah.
So be nice to go see that new venue. We're there in the second road trip of the year.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. It's always, I mean, when you talk about the NBA family and a lot of people, I think, and even when Kevin Johnson was looking around, I saw him in Los Angeles looking at Staples Center and kind of LA Live, and you know, is it going to be that kind of vibe? People have come through Sacramento and they've looked around and said, I really like this. I really like this. So to watch how other teams begin, and the same thing's going to happen with Golden State as they're building their arena. It should be ready soon as well. It's going to be a lot of fun to see them.
We'd like to thank CC Sabathia for covering first on a ball hit to the right. The ball goes to Luke Voigt, right? And he's getting ready to toss the ball to CC, but CC is still standing on the mound, getting ready to have a little picnic lunch. And Luke's got to go and like dive to get the out at first.
Hey, Napes, how many outs do they have right now?
They have two outs.
How many pitches has CC thrown?
Seven.
Oh, there you go, CC. I'm rooting for CC.
You got to cover it first. Jay played baseball in college. Jay, don't you have – isn't that automatic, a ball hit to the right? Where's your pitcher at covering the bag, for crying out loud?
You learned that in February, Napes.
Hey, see, now there you go. You learned that in February.
Hold on. Hey, Jay, I will say this. The Yankees pitchers have a propensity to pull hamstrings when they run.
Oh, my God.
Napes, I had a question,
yes,
man.
Sir.
For all your knowledge and all the games that you've seen over the years, everyone's talked about Angel Hernandez and how bad he is. In history, as far as you can remember, looks like CeCe gave up his first hit, by the way, and I know you're going to say something about that. Have you seen anyone worse than Angel Hernandez over your years?
I have not. And what's very interesting to me about this, with this day and age of social media and everything, everyone now knows about it. You can't hide this guy. And he's under a major microscope tonight. He almost has to call a perfect game before, or else people are going to ridicule him. Now, to his defense,
right?
I thought that the calls last night, with the exception of the last one, you need to replay to tell whether a guy was out or safe. It's a little unfair to him.
Right. Well, listen, if I understand that a lot of the umps and different things, they are put in the position by, during the season, what percentage of calls they get correct. So if he is as bad as you say, how does he get put in a situation like this?
It's political because he's got a lawsuit against Major League Baseball.
Okay. That'll do it.
Yeah, for discrimination. And so Major League Baseball is kind of like, well, you know what? We're not discriminating. He's working the All-Star game. He's working the playoffs. So a lot of it is political, in my opinion. He should not be on the field behind a plate tonight.
Well, they
could
have put him down the third base line right in the outfield.
You're in a rotation. You could have started in the outfield and then worked your way, and he wouldn't have been behind the plate. But what I'm saying is, most people in baseball, and I'm not qualified to say this, I'm only going by what I've read and everything else, he should not be behind a plate tonight. He's not. There are many other umpires that are better than him that should be doing this playoff game. That's what I'm saying.
That's my question. I mean, and if you are the Major League Baseball, listen, you always want to put out the best product, Napes.
Yep. Let's get to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Grand Doug, what's up, guys?
Hello.
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Good. What's going on?
I'd like to talk about the Spurs and a few teams in the West, like addition by subtraction. Like, I, for one, don't think the Spurs might not make the playoffs. I don't think the Clippers are. I don't think Memphis is. I think maybe the Kings might be there at the ninth, eighth spot. Basically, I'm calling. Maybe you guys can help me with a debate with my coworkers.
Well, I would agree with you on the Spurs, especially with the injury to DeJounte Murray. I don't necessarily agree with you with Memphis. I think if Mike Conley and Marc Gasol are healthy, then I think that that is a big part of their success, and they have a chance to be pretty good. I do not agree with you, the Kings. I think it's unrealistic right now on October 9th to talk about them in the playoffs.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Go Kings.
Kings. DeJounte Murray for the Spurs was a big, big loss, Grant. I mean, listen, Tony Parker leaves, goes to North Carolina in the Hornets.
Yep.
And I thought DeMar DeRozan, or I think DeMar DeRozan, is going to be really good for the San Antonio Spurs. And I really like Lonnie Walker, the young shooting guard, as well.
Because I think in order to make the playoffs, you're going to have to win 45 games. And I think it's unrealistic to think the Kings are going to win 45 games.
Yes. Now, I also paired that with saying, look what happened to the Utah Jazz. When Gordon left, I think everyone thought they were going to do an absolute slide. They didn't have a number one guy. And, you know, for whatever you think about Rudy Gobert, he's not a number one guy. On defense, he is. Donovan Mitchell comes in, fills right in, and takes them to the next level. Could De'Aaron prove, look, I'm the guy? It's possible. I still don't think that's equate 40 wins.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I could see the Spurs sliding, though. I think the Spurs are going to have a tough time making the playoffs. They barely made the playoffs last year. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Now, who are they going to go get? They still have Patty Mills, but I think you like him more in a backup position than a starting position. Because
I'd be calling the Clippers with all their point guards.
Okay. That's not all bad.
They have a surplus of point guards, and I could see that possibly being – you know, an issue. And a guy that, you know, you might be able to get is Teo Dosic. He might be available.
Well,
because you got Patrick Beverley.
Okay.
You got Alexander, who you drafted, and you got Lou Williams.
Well, Lou's not really a point guard.
I know, but he's a guard and Avery Bradley. So those are your guards. So maybe Teo Dosic is available.
Yeah. Now, depending on what you did, if you could squeeze Avery Bradley away from them, I really like him.
I do, too.
I mean, he is as good as a defender as you're going to get. He's underrated. A lot of people don't talk about it. But Teo Dosic, that's a good one, Grant. I think they probably know about him a lot from the overseas connection.
Dave, you're on with Grant and Doug. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. Hey, I have a question for you, and maybe when you talk to Coach later. You may want to ask it also. But last year the Kings were third in field goal percentage and near the bottom in attempts. This year in preseason so
you broke up on us there, buddy.
Dave?
But in attempts, what do we have to fix that?
You got
to
say that again, Dave.
Yeah,
I'm sorry
you broke up on us. So repeat your question, please.
Yeah, sorry, guys. So last year the Kings were about third in three-point field goal percentage.
Yep.
But near the bottom in attempts. So far in the preseason this year, they're first in field goal percentage, but again, probably about 24th in attempts.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that because one of their guys that's going to be shooting a lot of threes hasn't played yet, and that's Bielitsa. And so, to me, that's going to increase your threes. Also, Bogdan Bogdanovic hasn't played, so when he comes back, that's going to – I don't think that's going to be as big of an issue. I think this team's going to shoot a lot of three-pointers this year. I really do. Bases loaded, by the way. CC has given up two hits and a walk. But the back to three-pointers, I think Bielitsa is going to shoot a lot of threes.
Yes.
And I think that Bogdanovic, when he comes back, is shooting three. So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, and you add Buddy Hield in there. You add Scal Labissiere in there. I mean, you have the ability to shoot the three ball. Now you got to pair that with the pace. And you have to have the confidence to continue to pull the trigger. I want to say I saw something, and it was about
Oh, boy, what?
Look at you.
We're on radio. What do you mean, oh, boy? What? It's a routine fly ball.
It's a routine fly ball. Yeah, okay. That thing was up there for that thing was a
and
satellite.
And CC's already getting into it with the home plate umpire.
That was a can of corn, DC.
Hey, yeah, thank you. That was a can of corn. That's exactly what that is. We got Doug Christie, who's like stopping our radio show as if, like, you know, there's some big event.
You could have said something, too.
Well, I knew it was a fly ball to ball to a corner. I don't, there's nothing I need to say. It's a routine fly ball.
Hey, listen, CC was just telling him, look, that high heat, that was a strike. And I would agree with him.
It went further than Bucky Dent's home run.
Nah, let's not get carried away. Bucky's home run's still in the air.
No, but what I was going to say, Grant, is the Chris Paul was talking about Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
And they were talking about selfishness on other teams and selflessness on the Houston Rockets, and the fact that one game Gordon went 0-for-9, but he just kept shooting.
Right.
And no one was looking at him in any sort of way, and the Kings are going to have to gain that confidence about themselves. That's how you move up in the three-point attempts in the league. Is you got to don't be shy to pull the trigger. You're going to have to get long rebounds and different things like that. But all nights they're not going to go in if you want to compete in that way.
All right, 339-1140 is the local number. That's 339-1140 800-920-1140. We'll keep up to date on the baseball game. We will attempt to get Dave Yeager on. Remember, all guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. You know, when we get to next week, Doug and I will give you more specifics on who we think will fall out of the playoffs in the West. Because when I look at the Western Conference, I would say Sacramento and Phoenix are the two teams right now that I don't think are going to be in the playoffs. I also, and I'm doing this now, I don't think Minnesota is going to be in the playoffs. I don't think New Orleans is going to be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. If I had to guess, I would say Memphis would not be in the playoffs. So that would then put the Clippers, meaning that the teams that I think will make the playoffs are the Warriors, the Lakers, the Rockets, okay, the Nuggets, the Thunder, the Blazers, and the Jazz.
Okay.
Because I think all the teams in the Northwest, Denver, Oklahoma City, Portland, Utah, Minnesota. I think Minnesota does not make it. I think the other four teams do. Houston's going to make it. All right. So that's five. Golden State's going to make it. That's six. The Lakers are going to make it. That's seven. Okay. And then you are left with one other team. And whether that's going to be Minnesota, whether it's going to be the Spurs, whether it's going to be the Grizzlies or the Pelicans, that remains to be seen. Because the Lakers are making it. There's no way the Lakers are. Barring a LeBron James injury, there's no way they're not making the playoffs.
How many wins? I want to say the Lakers had
37, I believe.
37? Well, LeBron is normally, Another can of corn.
Yeah, 405-foot fly ball by Aaron Hicks.
That's a can.
Hey, listen, that's why you know you got it. You can't hit the ball to straightaway center at Yankee Stadium. You got to hit the ball to left or right.
Oh, okay.
One pitch, one out.
That's like me saying middle of the fairway.
Middle of the fairway.
Look,
man.
I'm just looking for contact, Napes. Where it goes is where it goes.
Yeah.
when you look at this Western Conference, Grant, I would agree. I think that eighth spot is probably open. I was saying about the Lakers, LeBron notoriously has been 11 plus wins when he goes to a new team. So if you are looking at them at 37 or whatever they were, you're looking at probably about 47 to 50 wins right in there, something like that. And it's going to depend on how well they gel and a lot of different things, because he's normally been he's had shooters around him. Guys are going to have to prove that they can make shots to compete in the Western Conference.
Yeah, then in the East, it'd be very interesting to see who's fighting for the seventh and eighth playoff spots. I mean, Boston's in, Philadelphia's in, Toronto's in. I think you can safely say those three teams are making the playoffs.
Yep.
By
the Bucks.
I was going to say the Bucks are going to make it. Indiana's going to make it. That's five.
Yep.
All right.
Washington, maybe.
Well, I would say Washington is six.
Now, you did see Dwight Howard has a problem.
I don't think they need Dwight Howard. So that's six.
Buttocks.
And there are a couple. I'll tell you who's an interesting team is Chicago.
Yes, because a lot of young talent, but man, oh, man. I mean, they are the Timberwolves East, I guess. But the young Wolves who've now, man, that you're right. That is a team, Grant, that if they come together in the right way, you're right. I could see them making the playoffs in the East. Yes, definitely.
And then, you know, who is it? I always have to consider Miami. And then here's the other deal. Who's going to end up with Jimmy Butler? We don't know the answer to that question yet.
And that could be a swing for either conference.
Yes.
In the Eastern Conference, if you put him on the right team, it could be a big swing. I mean, you could get into maybe the top four.
I think
four.
He's perfect for Miami.
Yeah, if he goes to Miami, they're definitely a playoff team. What do you got to give up?
You don't know what you're giving up. You're not getting them for free.
No, you are not. So that's a – now – could you do something similar to what we saw Golden State do and mortgage your bench and still pair him with some stars and be top heavy? That is possible, and that's kind of what's trending right now.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We got 90 minutes left on this edition of the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie on Sports 1140 KHTK. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Jim. Hello, Jim. Jim, what's going on today?
So, Grant, I actually had a question for you and Doug, and I'm kind of surprised by this. Ever since Magic Johnson got LeBron in free agency, I'm just really surprised that he hasn't been aggressive as far as going out and getting a second star, a Kawhi Leonard, or Jimmy Butler. Do you know why that is?
Well, I think that he tried to get both of those guys, and it was kind of said that they didn't want to play with LeBron. Now, I don't know how true that is. That was the speculation that we heard. I also think that part of Magic's apprehension a little bit is he doesn't want to get rid of his young talent.
Yeah, and he's got money to go out and get a free agent next year, so he can wait a year.
Yeah. Now, it is LeBron's prime, but that's kind of sounds like what they're willing to sacrifice for the greater of keeping the team together and trying to bring someone in without having to give up young talent.
Right. And, you know, you can't just go out and get someone without giving up a lot.
Okay. And then, you know, just a follow-up comment to that. I think when you got somebody like LeBron James, you definitely have to maximize every year of your chances of winning a championship no matter what. And then last question, I'll take this off the air. Do you guys think that this team has enough to beat Golden State?
No, they 100% do not.
No, but I will say this. Grant and I haven't even talked about this yet, but I'm going to pick the Boston Celtics. I think the Boston Celtics have enough to beat the Golden State Warriors, and when they meet, if they meet in the finals, I think the Celtics can beat them.
I do too.
He said he was taking it off the air.
I mean, I do because of the Kyrie Irving factor and Gordon Hayward on top of what we already saw last year. So if I'm looking at last year's Celtics team,
yes,
then I'm looking at Tatum, who's a year older.
Yep.
I'm looking at Brown, who's a year older.
Yep.
I'm looking at the tenacity that Marcus Smart gives me.
Yes.
I'm looking at Gordon Hayward, who's healthy. I'm looking at Kyrie Irving, who's back. And I, you know, and I haven't even gotten into all the other players.
Rozier.
That's right. So, you know, why not?
I think that also Al Horford.
Uh-huh.
Al Horford showed me something last play.
Al Horford's a good player.
He is a really solid player, and the ability for them to have multiple people that can guard a Kevin Durant. And I use Kevin. I know they're Steph and Clay, and I give them the full respect. You're not gonna, but I think that the Celtics can score in a lot of different areas. You're going to have somebody that you can throw at KD, multiple players, Gordon, Hayward, Jaylen Brown. These guys, not going to guard him,
right.
But I think they really match up well against the Golden State Warriors.
All right, let's get to Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, you know what? I know you don't like to answer these kind of questions, Grant, but I'm going to throw it out there anyways.
Okay.
It's for both you guys, really. What is considered a successful season for the Kings in win totals? And beyond that, what are three things that we need to see as a success for the Kings moving forward?
All right, that's a good question. And I don't have any problem with those questions. Three things. First, De'Aaron Fox has to look like he's the real deal. Mm-hmm. All right, that's number one. Throughout the year, Marvin Bagley has to look like you made the right pick and that he has a really bright future. And third, Harry Giles has to look as good as advertised. And I think those are the – in my list, those are one through three. In terms of numbers of games, I don't have the answer to that question. I'm going to tell you why. And you may think I'm full of it, and that's fine if you do. I want to see the – I'm more concerned about can the Kings be competitive in this conference night in, night out, more so than if they win games. Because I don't expect them to win a lot of games against the Western Conference teams. I mean, you tell me – Jeremy, in the Western Conference, all right, let's just go over this real quickly. I'm going to go with the Northwest Division. Denver, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Portland, Utah. Do you think the Kings are better than any of those teams?
Well, I guess my pause is...
All right, let me help you out there. The answer to that question is no. All right, let's go to the Southwest Division. San Antonio, New Orleans, Memphis, Houston, Dallas. Are the Kings better than any of those teams?
Maybe San Antonio.
Okay.
Now after that.
All right.
Injury.
So let's put San Antonio on the back burner. All right. Let's get to the Pacific. Golden State, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Suns.
The Lakers. I just have to say it. But you know,
full
of it.
All right. So the Lakers. All right. So that's two teams in the conference that you think the Kings are better than. So it doesn't mean you can't beat a team that's better than you, but you got to be realistic about this. I'm looking to see how competitive the Kings can be when they're playing against Denver, which they'll be doing next week, when they're playing at New Orleans, when they're playing against the Lakers, when they're playing against, you know, Portland, and when they're playing against Utah, which they will next Wednesday night. Not only do I want to see if the Kings can win, but more than that, I want to see with 5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, do they have a chance to win the game?
And to Grant's point right there, I think that is the eye test that Kings fans should use. Are the Kings in games? Are they competitive? That's where you learn how to win. There are games where I can look at many teams the year before they took that next step. They were in games. They lost those games. Now they learn how to win those games. And those games are about 15 to 20 to 18 games a year that you really have a chance to win and you don't win them.
All right, answer his question about your three prior. I gave you my three things that I'm looking for.
I would say, first of all, De'Aaron Fox has to take that step. I see it already in him, so that kind of checks it off for me. He already looks like he's a dude. He's a guy. A defensive identity for me is going to be something that is drastic.
Okay.
I think that the Kings as a young team have to have some sort of defensive identity, and you say to yourself, okay, I see what they do there. And then last but not least, I think that they have to learn how to play with pace. And what I mean by that is playing with pace, sometimes you turn the ball over in different things. They're going to have to iron that out. So I would like to see them defense, play with pace, and obviously De'Aaron Fox take that step.
You all good, Jeremy?
You guys are awesome. Really appreciate the detailed answers and always appreciate you guys.
Anytime.
Thank you for calling the show. Have a good afternoon.
Good,
hey, thank you. So, again, I'm not conceding anything. I don't like conceding anything.
Right.
I don't mean to be on the radio conceding, but I'm trying to be objective and realistic when I go over the Western Conference.
Yeah, and you know what? I could give you three, but I could also give you eight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things, but I could have stopped with your three things, Grant, because I think that because talent is what wins in the NBA. And you said De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles. If those guys, if that talent rises to where it looks like it can go, well, obviously you're cooking with something.
And the reason why I say that, I know how Bogdan's going to play.
Yes.
I know how Yogi's going to play. I know how Bjelica's going to play. I don't know how Justin Jackson's going to play. I think I know how Buddy Hield's going to play, which is very well. You know, I don't, and Willie Cauley-Stein, I don't know yet. I mean, you know, we keep on talking about consistency or lack thereof. I don't know if we're going to see a consistent Willie Cauley-Stein.
Yeah, and this is what drives me. When I say about the defensive side of things, Grant, for the Kings, let your defense create your offense. This is a young team. A lot of guys are very athletic. Get rebounds, quickly, fast break, block shots, let that start the break, get steals, get in the open court. Allow your defense to create your offense because you are young and you're still working on things as opposed to, you know, if I make this jumper, boy, I'm playing good and I got my swagger. Listen, you only make about 40% of your shots if you're a decent player. So that's telling me that 40% of the time you're going to play good. I'm not buying into that one. I need more than that.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, I guess we should throw that question out to the fans because that was a good question by Jeremy. What are your fans' expectations? I'll ask you, what is your definition of a successful season? And I keep on going back to this. When we get to March 1st and April 1st,
yes,
we need to say collectively as a fan base, wow, this team is right on the doorstep of a playoff. In other words, they're right there.
Yeah.
And so that you can say realistically going into the offseason that this team has a chance to be a playoff team. It has to happen.
Grant, and that is that what you're talking about, that's visual. And that's how I'm looking at De'Aaron Fox right now. I see De'Aaron absorb hits that his sleight of frame shouldn't be able to handle. But let me tell you, he is stronger than he looks. He now understands leverage. He's looking, and Jerry Reynolds, the great Jerry Reynolds, said about him yesterday, speaking of De'Aaron Fox, he's looking for shots now, Grant, that he didn't even look for last year. Not only is he looking for them, but he's also hitting them. That means coming off the pick and roll, shooting a three in transition, shaking a guy, getting him off of him, pulling up and knocking down a 17-foot jump shot. I like it.
All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie again. So we'll ask the question to you, and that is, what are you going to judge this season on? I'm not going back to last year's mantra where I'm not going by wins and losses because ultimately, you know, I'm not into last year. Last year's theme, that's not this year's theme.
You could lose more games but be farther along year.
In this conference?
Yes.
Heck, yeah, you could.
And yes. I know people are going,
but no, that's
what
the
man call in and say, you guys put lipstick on a pig. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Whatever in the hell you want to say. The point is I know as an athlete what I see and what is possible. Yep.
All right, let's get to Taylor. Hello, Taylor.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. How you guys doing today?
Good. What's up?
So, fan expectations for this year. I'm hoping a lot out of Justin Jackson. We need the three. I know we got Bagley. I don't know if he's going to be playing the three at all, but just want your opinions. What if we don't get this three filled this year? What should Jaeger do going forward to get our lineup solidified for the year?
Well, I don't know that that's a question for Jaeger. Actually, that'd be a question for Vlade because he's the one who's going to have to figure out unless that player is on the team. And now we're talking player development, the ability to develop someone. See, the first thing that you said, that's my problem, is you said, I'm looking for big things out of Justin Jackson. He has to hit that three. That, in my opinion, that's the wrong way for Justin Jackson to think. If I hit the three, I'm playing well. He can contribute so many more things than just the three-pointer. And right now, to me, it looks like if he makes a shot, he thinks he's playing well, and he's allowing that to dictate.
Can't do it.
You can't do it.
You can't have that mentality.
You have way more talent than that.
Yep.
Oh, no, thanks, guys. I totally meant like playing the three because I know, you know, we've been looking for that small four. But thank you guys so much.
Thank
for your
you.
Time.
We got Bjelica that can play the three. I mean, Bogey can play the three.
He looked good last night, Grant.
Yeah, no, I know.
I like what I see out of Bjelica.
All right, Sherwin. What's up, Sherwin?
Hey, just real quick, guys. What I expect out of the season as a fan is a cohesive unit that we're putting out on the floor on a regular basis, a nine-man rotation, if you will, okay. Something normal that can grow together. I think we've been doing a lot of experimentation for obvious reasons over the last couple of seasons, and I just want to see us
okay.
grow
I like
together.
That answer, Sherwin.
Yeah, I do too.
That's
Thank
solid.
You, Sherwin. We'll come right back. More of your phone calls when we return. All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie. We take your phone calls, 339-1140, 800-921-1140, and it is Dustin. Hello, Dustin.
Hey, guys. Happy Tuesday. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I just want to check in. Willie Cauley-Stein, I believe he has 2 years left on his deal. Looking ahead, where do you guys feel he could most improve on his offensive game? Mid-range jumpers, butt to the basket kind of a deal. Where do you guys looking as far as most offensive improvement?
You know, I'm not really looking for offensive improvement from Willie, to be honest with you. I want to see the consistency on the block shots, on the rebounds, on the rim runs. His offensive game isn't really that bad, to be honest with you. I mean, he can knock down a 17, 18-foot jump shot on a pick and roll. He understands how to pick and roll to the basket, and he's obviously athletic enough to dunk it. But really the consistency is the ability to garner 10 to 15 rebounds a game and be a defensive staple for the Kings. The offense will come. It definitely will. He has that ability, but it's more defense for me. I'm just speaking for me.
Gotcha. Do you think he has the endurance to kind of run the floor? I mean, I kind of remember like a Pau Gasol kind of deal where you feed the big man as he's coming down. He just – the cheapy offensive rebound putbacks, I mean, run the floor. I mean, do you guys feel he has –
Oh, yeah, he's a thoroughbred on the
yeah.
floor. He's a deer.
Yeah, he's probably one of the only players in the NBA that can run with his point
oh,
guard
yeah.
because our point guard runs like nobody's business, and there's not a big man in the NBA, really, maybe one or two, that can run with Willie Cauley-Stein. He's a thoroughbred.
So 15, 10 kind of year, is that more than the realistic
range? Oh, God, I would be so happy, man. Listen, if he gets 15 points and 10 rebounds.
Yeah, I don't think that's realistic.
But if it happened, I'd be more happy with 10 points and 15 rebounds.
Okay. And he's probably looking for a payday. I mean, do you think that he maybe gets that next year if he gets those?
I don't know. That's we'll wait and see. You know, all these things will be determined by, you know, how he performs. So. Red Sox are on the board first on a sacrifice fly. They lead 1-0. If you want to call the show, 339-1140 is the local number. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it.
I'm looking at what CC's doing, Grant. I don't think it's all bad. I mean, now you hit the first guy and you end up getting
and who scored?
And who scored?
The guy that you hit.
That's the only mistake because other than that, I mean, he's some borderline pitches.
Yeah, you can't Angel, be making mistakes in elimination games.
Not
that's
that
the point
one.
I'm trying to make.
Yeah, as soon
can't
as you hit him
somebody.
And you got him on, now all of a sudden it's 1-0. Up and beyond that, he hasn't been terrible.
Again, we'll keep you up to date on that game and. We'll look ahead to the Kings on Thursday. So my question is, what are your expectations for the Kings this year? All right, let's get to Bobby. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, Grand Doug. What's up, guys?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How as far as basketball, it's like we're in the middle of football, but how are you recovering from that Giants weekend, Grant? I feel for you.
You know what? I'm not. It's not hard for me to recover because my expectations are very low for the team this year. So, believe it or not, it's not that difficult because I don't have expectations for the team, and I also know that they're never going to win as long as they have Odell Beckham on the team. So, it's almost like a given to me that it is what it is. Until they don't have Odell, they're not going to win consistently.
I was waiting for you to say that because I heard you guys talking about that yesterday. With Doug
I think the guy's a cancer. That's what I think. I think he's a cancer for the team.
Come on.
I'm telling you. Let me repeat. C-A-N-C-E-R. That's what Odell Beckham is.
Using
in a lot of ways, too, like, and Doug was kind of laminating a little bit on it, but also, like, I like how you play middleman as well, Doug, because you get both perspectives and kind of bring it in the middle from Grant.
Sacramento.
But, I mean, he's just – in some ways, he's what's wrong with some of today's sports, but the guy is so talented. But
you know what? Talent
like
doesn't win in professional sports. Talent
right,
is
Grant.
Part of what wins in professional sports.
Grant, I totally agree with you. I'm just, like Doug's, you know, trying to be in the middle a little bit. But, I mean, everything about the guy is a look-at-me guy. And it's that's the position. And it's, like you said, though, when it comes to contribute to winning, we all knew what he did in the playoffs. And the guy's a hell of a talent. But it's like he's all about himself. And those guys usually aren't winners. And it's like at that position as well, they touch the ball, the great ones, 5 to 8 times a game, if that. And it's, so it's like, buddy, like, know your place, but you're not a leader. Like, in that interview was, and I love Lil Wayne, and watching that, we're watching Lil Wayne protect him the whole time, it was, like, making me cringe.
It was an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. And here's the other deal. You're going to go on ESPN, and you're going to do an interview like that, and then on a 4th and 5, you drop a ball. Then on a punt return, you misplay it, and it goes off your leg, and Carolina scores a touchdown. You know, it's like 2 years ago, going down to South Beach the week of the Green Bay playoff game. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. Enough already.
Yep. And then the problem is, too, like, you have a bunch of these, some of these media outlets almost defending him, and it's like, guys, like, I get you got to play everything in the middle, but it's like, that's not what winning's about.
Hey, if there, anyone that's defending Odell Beckham does not have any clue to what it takes to win in professional sports.
Well, it's the social media atmosphere we live in, so that's the problem. As anyone can have an opinion on anything.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
I mean.
But it doesn't mean it's accurate.
Watered it down. And, I mean, Doug, what do you feel with this modern-day stuff? Because I love your grit and grind and work ethic. And I mean, it's like you kind of baffle me with DeMarcus sometimes, Doug, because it's like how can someone like you
– you know why?
– love your makeup.
Yeah, I got you.
Like, and I get you have his back because you're –
Well, let him answer the question.
No. Because I was a DeMarcus, an Odell. I wasn't always as professional as I was when I got here. So I understand that guys can and do change. What it takes to change, you have to be willing for that. And when you see a talent like DeMarcus, the fact that no one was able to get through to him, I don't know who you blame that on. It's easy to blame him because it's like, damn, guy, why don't you just figure it out? It's not always that simple, man. And the reason I say that is because, like I said, I was one of those kids. I did come from the inner city. I wasn't always the easiest to deal with, but it took a Pat Riley telling me that I'm not playing. It took a Don Nelson saying that I don't belong in this league. And those type of things for me to start to figure it out. And then a coach like Rick Adelman and Coach Carrill to believe in me enough and Isaiah Thomas to say, you know what, you can go out there and you can do it. And then all of a sudden, the professionalism and having a family and different things begin to come. So that's why I say that when I talk about like a Cuz and an Odell Beckham.
See, and I go in a different route. Mm-hmm. And I don't have the experience that Doug has in the locker room, but I have this experience. DeMarcus Cousins is going into his 9th year, and there are 2 teams that didn't want him, and he's a 4-time All-Star. Sacramento didn't want him, and New Orleans didn't want him. And that tells me all I need to know about a player, plus my own personal knowledge. And the people that I know in New York, as far as it pertains to Odell Beckham, a lot of the players in New York like playing with him, and there are a number of players that respect him. But to me, and you always hear this in the NFL, the one thing that coaches hate in the NFL are distractions. Absolutely. They say it every and Odell Beckham is nothing but a distraction, a talented distraction, but yet a big time distraction, and all the focus is on him. And unfortunately for the Giants, it's they're not winning, you know. And sometimes you do turn your head the other way if you're winning and winning and winning, but the Giants aren't winning, and Odell Beckham is not helping them win.
Well, and Doug made a good point. I mean, it's like, Doug, you're right to an extent, but you also had the intrinsic character, if you want to call it that, to be humble enough or whatever you went through to be like, okay, I get it. This hasn't got me where I want to get, so I'm going to allow this coach to come in and provide an example. To where I know Boogie's talented, and, you know, he's maybe like the bigger star potential, but like, hasn't came to that crossroads
yes,
yet.
Yes, but this is my key. You say the word humble, and a lot of different things humble people. I thought that Odell Beckham was humbled by the injury last year. I think that DeMarcus Cousins was humbled by the injury. Sometimes it takes the fact that thing that you love the most is taken away from you, and unfortunately that's through injury. It can be from a lot of different things before you start to realize what it is that you have.
3-0. I just told you, you cannot give the ball to C.C. Sabathia in a big spot like this. You just can't. And he's getting hit. He's getting tattooed. absolutely tattooed. Every ball they're hitting hard. Every ball. Even the outs, they're hitting hard.
Center fielder should have caught that one, Grant.
That was the left fielder. It went over his head. It was a
got to catch
it. Very difficult.
Got to catch it.
Three. Again, they're killing Sabathia, just like I predicted they would. All right. Tell you what we'll do. We'll take the break. We got 1 hour left. And we're going to come back. We're going to get to your phone calls. We're going to take you right up till 7 o'clock, right here on Sports 1140, KHTK.